You are listening to Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.
Good morning. Man, we have an awesome team here at the church, and I just so appreciate everyone that's engaged in service. I just feel like this morning there's a theme here, and it's not a theme that we planned today, but from the worship to Pastor Chad to the highlight that we just heard from CM, there really is a theme of service and a sacrifice, and it just so happens, and honestly, I did not plan it this way. That's what I'm speaking about this morning. It's kind of like God is in control. Of things, and he speaks through people. I really think that's true, and I want to start this morning because I'm not going to talk for very long because I have about 25 minutes, but I just want to say this to you this morning, and I just feel impressed today, and it started in the early service, and I just could not shake it in this service. I feel impressed today that for some of you that are here this morning, this service. And this decision that we're going to talk about today has the power to change things in your life. And what we're talking about today is who are you going to serve in your life? And getting this correct can change everything in your life. And I don't say that lightly, and I'm not saying that because I'm just trying to get you to serve this morning in children's ministry or on Easter or anything else. I certainly want you to do that. But I really sense there is a sense of almost like a very serious sense that some of you are at a crossroads today, and you're wondering what your life is about, and you're wondering why things aren't working out, and you're wondering why things are so difficult. And I just want to tell you, today, if you make a decision to really give yourself and your life in its entirety on every level to God, then the tenor and the tone and the direction of your life is going to change. And I think that like, you may not even know the fullness of what that means, but I just feel like that is really what is being laid before us today. Joshua has, in the Old Testament, he has this moment where he tells the people of Israel, choose who you're going to serve this day. You're going to serve God? You're going to serve the other gods of the world? Who you're going to serve? And I feel like that's where we're at this morning. At the end of the service, which is going to come really fast for me, because I like to talk a whole long time, but it's not going to happen this morning. At the end of the service, I'm going to ask people who want to make that decision to stand to their feet. And that's not something I did in the first service, but I just feel like for some of you, there's going to be an important moment where you're saying, you know what, I'm tired of doing things my own way. I'm ready to give everything to the Lord, and I'm ready. I don't even know what that means, but I'm just saying yes to you, God. And some of you are going to wrestle with what I'm just saying right now for the rest of the service as to whether or not you're going to have courage to stand up. Listen, we're in a series called Created to Give, and we're talking about how we are designed as human beings by God the Father to be people of blessing, to be people who would just give out. We're not just designed to receive and to enjoy. We're actually designed to be the kind of people that turn around and give back. Jesus himself said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as ransom for many. Jesus is our model. He's the one that we follow. The reality is, if we're going to follow Jesus, if we're going to follow the way of the cross, we are going to serve and we're going to give everything that we have to the Lord. When I say everything we have, I mean every area of our life is to be submitted to him first. Now, the series is about our heart. It's about our resources, about our finances. I've already taken the offering. We're not going to take up another offering at the end of the service. I'm not raising money for anything, but I want you to know your money is a big deal to God. Not because he needs your money. God has all the money in the world, right? He created everything. There's nothing that he doesn't have. The reality is, the reason your money is important is because your relationship to your money speaks of where your heart is at. And if you don't get that relationship correct, you will end up living your life in a direction that is meaningless and easy and is about yourself and your self-centeredness and your pleasure. We all do it. That's what the world sells us. That's what the world tells us all the time. And until we get that correct, we will find that we will never be satisfied with our life. We will never get enough. Our houses will never be large enough. Our cars will never be nice enough. We'll never have enough stuff because we have things upside down. And the world tells us, We are designed to be consumers. We are designed to spend money that we don't have, to buy things that we don't need, to impress people that we don't like. And we do it all the time. And it's time for us to get it straight. And that's what this message is about this morning. We have a little pamphlet, a little booklet that kind of goes along with this series. You might have this. It's got a place for notes. You can use it. If you don't have it, there's some in the back of the auditorium which you can grab. If you don't have one, want one, you can get it at the end of the service or slip out of your seat and get it. Got some exercises that go along with our messages. And it's some really good tools that are in here. It's a beautiful little booklet that we're borrowing from another church that led this series. And so we're borrowing that from them. The question today is, who will you serve? Who will you serve with your life? Who will you serve with your resources, with your money? We call it the three T's: your time, your talent, and your treasure. And all of us have to serve somebody. Bob Dylan wrote a very famous song, some of you are familiar with, years ago, called Gotta Serve Somebody. I was looking at the lyrics of that song, and in part, he says some really powerful things. He says this: you may be a construction worker working on a home. You may be living in a mansion, or you might live in a dome. I don't know if anybody really lives in a dome, but you know. You might own guns. I know there's some of you here that own guns. And you might even own tanks. You might be somebody's landlord. You might even own banks. But you're going to have to serve somebody. He says you may be a preacher with spiritual pride. You may be a city councilman taking bribes on the side. You may be working in a barbershop. You may know how to cut hair. You may be somebody's mistress. You may be somebody's heir. But at the end of the day, you have to serve somebody. All of us are going to serve something. And whether we get how we answer that question is really, really important to our lives. I heard a story this week about a couple named Morris and Esther. And Morris and Esther would go to the fair every year. And at the fair, they had a helicopter ride. And that helicopter ride cost $50. And every year, Morris would say to Esther, "Esther, I want to go on the helicopter ride." And Esther would say, "Morris, that helicopter ride costs $50, and $50 is $50. And they would walk on. Year after year, Morris would say this, and year after year, Esther would say the same thing, and they never rode the ride until one day they went to the fair, and Morris looks over at Esther, and he says to his wife, he says, "Esther, I'm 85 years old, and if I don't ride this ride, I don't think I'm ever going to do it." And she looked at him and said, "Well, Morris, that ride costs $50, and $50 is $50. Well, he kind of looked at his shoes for a moment, and it just so happened they were standing close enough to the ride that the pilot overheard their conversation. And so he looked at them, and he decided to make a deal with them. And he said to them, "Hey, guys, I see that you want to ride this ride. I'll make you a deal. I'll give you a ride for free if you don't make any noise as long as the entire ride continues." Well, they thought that was a pretty good deal. They crawled into the helicopter. The pilot takes them up, and he begins to do everything that he can do to get them to make any kind of noise at all, right? He does the whoop-de-doos and the whirly-gigs, and he turns upside down, and they're not making any noise whatsoever. He's amazed. He comes to the time when they're going to end the ride. He lands the helicopter, and he looks over at Morris, and he says, "Morris, I can't believe it. I did everything I could to get you to make a noise during the flight. I am incredibly impressed." And Morris said to him, "Well, I almost said something when my wife fell out of the helicopter." "But you know, $50 is $50. My good friend Morris. The reality is, right, Morris is living with a value that puts money before relationships. It puts money before other things. And the truth is that we tend to do that in our lives. There's something that happens in our hearts that when we value our resources, the things that we have, the money that we earn, the toys that we buy, more than the people that are around us. The reality is that we are constantly faced with a decision between two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. The kingdom of God offers life and life abundant. The kingdom of God offers freedom and grace and goodness and love, and the kingdom of this world offers just the opposite. It looks really great. It tells you if you can gain enough money and enough power and enough resources that you will get what you want and you will be happy at the end of the day. But the reality is that the kingdom of this world offers nothing at the end of the day. You will spend your life enjoying your life, and that's all you get at the end of your life. We have to decide which kingdom we're going to serve. I'm going to look with you at a verse in Luke chapter 16. And if you have a Bible, you can turn there. It'll be on the screens. If you don't, you can follow along in the notes. If you want online, that's always on our Church Center app, and you can find it under outlines there. And Luke chapter 16 is an interesting chapter because Jesus is talking about just this exact thing. You know, frankly, Jesus talked a lot about money, resources, and stewardship. They say that 25% of all that Jesus said was about stewarding. That is about dealing with the money and the possessions that we have as people. And in Luke chapter 16, there's two stories. One story is a story which is often called the story of the unjust servant. And then there's a second story at the end, that's the story of Lazarus and the rich man. In between these two stories, almost like the glue that ties them together, Jesus makes this statement that whether or not you've ever read the Bible, chances are you've actually heard this phrase because it's so commonly known. He says this in Luke chapter 16, verse 13. He says, "No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Let me just read that one more time to you. He says, "No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Now, serving two masters is a terrible experience. Some of you have had that experience, maybe having two bosses at work. And one boss says one thing, and the other boss says the other thing. You're in big trouble. It's frustrating. You can't figure it out. You feel like you're torn between two things. Some of you, in your family life, you serve two masters. You serve your spouse and you serve your kids, and you can't figure out which one has priority. And as a result, you're torn constantly, and your family is torn because you haven't figured out which one is more important. Let me give you a hint. Your marriage is more important. Okay. The reality is that there is in fact a battle in our hearts for who we are going to serve in our life, and we have to get it straight. If we don't get it straight, we will end up living our life in a way that we think is going to be successful, that we think is going to be fruitful, and we think it's going to give us all that we want, but in the end, it's going to end up empty. So the question for us today is, who gets your time, your talent, and your treasure? Let me call them the three T's. Your time, of course, the way that you spend your time, what you do with your time, how you invest your time. Your treasure is your money. It's what's in your bank or under your bed or in the safe or wherever you keep your resources and your money. Your treasure speaks of your toys that you buy and you wax, the things that you keep under lock and key, the things that you enjoy and find value in, whatever you spend your money on. And of course, your talent are your skills. Each one of you have unique skills and abilities. You have things to do that God has uniquely crafted and given to you. How you use those three things in your life indicates who you're going to serve. And until you get this understood in your heart, and until you get it arranged in terms of priority, where you're going to put it, then you always have things out of whack, and you end up living for yourself. You live in a self-centered way. You live in a way that's hopefully you're going to make a life for yourself. You try to build a house for yourself. yourself. You try to build the resources in such a way that you have lots of comfort and you just are enjoying yourself. And if you are wondering how you can tell who you serve, well, the truth is if I asked you to show me your credit card statement or your debit statement, then that would tell me very quickly who you serve. Who your money really is given to. We'll find that many of us serve Target and Walmart and Citibank, and that's our priority thing. And it used to be in the old days, we would ask to see your checkbook. I'm not really literally asked to see your checkbook, but I would say, look at your checkbook. We don't have checkbooks anymore. So look at your statement. Where does your money go? Because very quickly you will find the priority of how you spend the resources that you have by simply looking at the way that you spend your money. We can say all day long, I serve the Lord, I love the Lord, I give the Lord, but if it doesn't show up in the areas that are most important, that is our money, our treasure, our money, our talent, and our time, then you're lying to yourself. And we love to lie to ourselves. And we think that somehow if we can do just a little bit here, a little bit there, that somehow God is going to be appeased, as if we're trying to convince him that we really are for him, but our hearts are not. They're far away from him. So Jesus says there's two options. The first option is to choose to serve mammon, and the second option is to choose to serve God. Now, that word mammon is an interesting word, right? We don't use it typically in conversation today. It's a Bible word. It's not only found in the Bible. It's actually a whole bunch of different languages have the same word, mammon. And essentially what it means, all of them translate to the same thing. They all translate to money, wealth, and material possessions. That's mammon. It's the stuff that we buy. It's the stuff that we crave and want, and we try to get it with our resources. It's the stuff that we collect. Whatever you're into, that really is mammon. Now, the thing with mammon is it represents something. We're not just talking about the fact that money is evil. What Jesus is talking about is that when you serve mammon, it is representative of a spirit, and that spirit is in direct conflict with God and his kingdom. And Jesus says you can't serve both things. You can either serve God or you can serve wealth and possessions. You can serve your life and trying to chase after it. You can't actually serve both because they are things that are diametrically opposed to one another. We live our life so frequently because our world is a consumeristic world. And we are taught from a very young age to be consumers. We're taught that if we can just get stuff, that that's where it's at. I mean, every ad tells us that if we just buy that thing that they're selling to us, our life will finally be wonderful. Right? I mean, the way that they sell anything today, it's almost as if you finally buy that thing, then you'll truly, truly be happy. And we buy into it. We become consumers in our very nature. The way that this happens, I think, is very devious. You may have heard this story before because I've told it before. But I remember my son was, I think, maybe 4 or 5 years old, my oldest. And we decided to have a birthday party for him. And he had a friend that had exactly the same birthday as he did. And so we decided to do a combined birthday party. Well, when your kid is 4 or 5, really you're doing the birthday party for you. You're not doing the birthday party for the kid, right? I mean, because they're too little. And so we got all of our friends together, and we decided to have a party for us, right? Frank, if you have a party for your 1-year-old, 2-year-old, it's not a party for your kid, guys. It's a party for you. All right, let's just be honest about it, okay? And so we invite way too many people to this party for these 2 little 4-year-olds, and every last one of these people brought a gift. So there's probably 20 gifts, and it came time to open the gifts, and we got these two boys here, and we began to hand them gifts. And I remember my son, and I watched him, and he opened up that first gift, and it was that toy truck, and oh man, and he was so excited. He was ready to play with the truck, and he was he's thinking, man, I see the excitement on his face, and I said, no, you can't play with that. Give that to me. Here's another gift. You have to open another gift. He says, he kind of looks confused for a second, and then he sees the gift. He says, oh, okay, so he opens that one. Man, it's even something cooler, right? He's excited about this next gift, and he's thinking, I want to play with this. And I said, no, son, you can't play with that. What are you talking about? Take that away. Give him another gift, right? And I watched as gift after gift we forced him to open. He went from, because he was frustrated at first. He was frustrated because he wanted to enjoy the thing that he had received in just a wonderful, pure way that you see your kids do it. And then I watched as that frustration sort of turned to then expectation at the little adrenaline hit that he would get at opening the next gift. He no longer, so by gift 5 or 6, he no longer was excited necessarily about that thing. He was excited about what came next. And so he opened, oh, cool. And he's like reaching for the next thing. And I realized I had tortured this kid. And I had placed upon him a spirit of consumerism. The same spirit that I deal with, the same spirit that you deal with, that tells us that what will really make us happy is if we go to the store or go online and spend some money. And we get that little adrenaline hit. We get that little excitement there. Ooh, I just bought something. And then we end up with houses that are full of crap that we don't need. And half the time is unopened or unused because we're just on to the next thing because we have identified and given ourselves over to the spirit of mammon. We've given ourselves over to a mentality that says, my very purpose is to be a consumer, and if I consume things, then I will feel good, and if I feel good, then I've done what I need to do, and the reason I don't feel good today is because I'm not spending money, so let me go spend some money. And before you know it, we're living a life that is a life that is in direct opposition to the thing that God wants to do in our hearts. The spirit of mammon is this. The spirit of mammon says, if we have money, we don't need God. Because if you have money, right, then you have everything that you need. This is what mammon says to us, and I just want you to do a quick check on yourself if you've believed any of these lies. Mammon promises that you, if you get enough resources, if you save enough money, if you get enough stuff, then finally you will be at peace. If I just save a little bit more money, I'll stop being worried about the future. Anybody bought that lie before? What you discover is that then you get that little bit more money and it's not enough because it never actually fulfills the promise that it gives to you, which is, man, if you just get a little bit more, then you'll feel peace. Or maybe if you get enough, you'll finally feel joy. I'll finally feel happy and I'll finally be able to experience the goodness of life if I have enough in the bank or if I get the toy that I've been looking for. You'll finally be secure. You'll finally have the pleasure that you're looking for. You'll finally have the hope that you're looking for. How about this one? It promises that you'll get an identity, that if you have enough money, then people will look at you, they made it. They have the resources that they need, and they'll begin to envy you. The reality is, mammon promises all of these things that ultimately God is the only one who can provide them. That if we keep chasing after resources, money, and wealth, we will find ourselves on this eternal cycle, this rat race, where we're trying to get a bigger car and a bigger house and a little bit more, and thinking that if we just get a little bit more, then I'll finally be there, and we discover when we get there, we haven't gotten there. Because there's always something bigger and better and shinier and newer right around the corner. You ever bought a car? You thought it was the greatest thing ever. You bought the latest model, and then 1 week, 1 month later, they come out with a new model, and you go, oh, man. It's because we're chasing after something that you cannot win. The reality is you can have money and possessions. I'm not saying that money and possessions are evil. I think, yeah, it's great to have resources. It's great to have cars. It's great to have houses. Nothing wrong with that. You can have money and possessions. They just can't have you. And the truth is that very often they have us. They have us captured. The chase has our heart. And we go to work just so that we can get some more, so that we can keep chasing after that thing that's actually an illusion. Jesus says, hey, if you're going to follow mammon, it's going to lead you in a way that you don't want to. The second option that he gives us, of course, is to choose to serve God. And if you get this correct, If you put mammon in the right place in your life, then you'll begin to discover true joy. How do you do this? How do you serve God with your resources? Let me just give you a couple of ideas, all right? Ways that we can serve God with our resources. Number one, we can serve God with our resources to glorify Him and to celebrate His goodness. This is demonstrating to the Lord honor. This is putting God in first place. When we recognize that God has been good to us, that everything comes down from Him, I think it's James that says that every good thing comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variation. He doesn't change. He doesn't shift. He's always the same. And it says everything comes from Him. When we understand that the resources that we have is a result of the goodness of God, that what comes out of our heart is a desire to honor Him. So when you honor somebody, it means that you're putting them first. When I go to my wife and I say, babe, what would you like to do today? Where would you like to go eat? What would you like done in the house? When I begin to pay attention to her first and I put my desires underneath her desires, what I'm showing to her is honor. It's basically saying, you're the most important thing in my life. You're the most important human being on this earth. And so I want to put you first in my life. I'm going to honor you. When we do that with God the Father, what we're doing is we're beginning to put ourselves in a place where we demonstrate that He is in first place, that He is worthy of the honor that we have. David does this in the Old Testament. This is a verse, I think it's on the screen, in 1 Chronicles. He says this, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, the glory, the victory, and the majesty. Everything in the heavens and on earth is Yours, O Lord, and this is Your kingdom. We adore You as the One who is over all things. Wealth and honor come from You alone, for You rule over everything." It's a pretty good prayer. Now, a lot of times we'll pray that prayer, but we won't have anything to back it up in terms of our resources. David turned around, he gave an offering in that moment to the temple, and if you calculate the amount that he gave in today's dollars, it was a $9 billion offering. If you would like to give an offering of $9 billion, I will meet you right here at the front after the service this morning. David wasn't one who just said nice words. He decided, listen, I'm gonna make sure my life backs up what I'm saying with my mouth. One of the things that bothers me is when we say, let me just give you a little pet peeve, but this is what I mean about putting God first and honoring Him. One of the things that bothers me is when we sing songs with our mouth and we don't do them with our bodies. And so we say, I throw up my hands and praise You again and again. And we'll sing it. Right, but we won't. Something's wrong. We're lying to ourselves, and we're being there's a problem in our very soul when you say things with your mouth, but you don't do them in your life. That's what we tell our kids, right? We tell our kids, you know, don't just pay attention to what I say, also pay attention to what I do. Because if you say things but you don't do them, you're actually multiplying brokenness in your own soul. There's a problem. You're deceiving yourself over and over again. And so when I sing songs, and I prefer if we don't sing songs like I dance before the Lord, because that means I got to just do a little, you know, a little move with my feet, right? If you look at me, right, I'll try to, it says bow before the Lord. I'll try to, okay. You know, why? Because there's something about what I say with my mouth. These are not empty words that we're doing. We serve a King of Kings, a God who hears every word, and He takes us at our word. Now, He's gracious and He's forgiving, but He's also listening to see if we will do the thing that we say we will do. We say, God, I want to put You first. He's saying, will you really? Because if you won't in your marriage and in your relationships and in your money and in everything else, then you're just lying to yourself and you're lying to Me. And so it's time for us to begin to honor God and say, God, where am I out of alignment here? Where am I saying things but not really putting You first? Got real quiet. I'm sorry about that. Was that too serious for you? I feel that's where it's at, guys. We don't come here just to say nice things. We don't come here to put on a show. We don't come here to do nice music. I love nice music. I love the sound of the bass. I want the music to be powerful. I want all that. If we are just doing it as a show, we are missing the point entirely. And what's more, it's dangerous for our soul. if we show up and act as if God is King of Kings, but our life does not demonstrate it, there's something wrong. We are actually serving another God. And it's time for the people of God to say, you know what? Everything I have, God, is you. David says, I'm not going to come and give an offering to the Lord that doesn't cost me anything. When he says that, it reminds me, man, I better be careful. I better be careful what I say, be careful what I do, because I'm actually serving a God who is worthy of everything. Secondly, we can serve God with our resources to ensure our heart remains pure. I think it's an interesting idea. When you begin to give your resources to the Lord, what you're doing is you're engaging in a process of purification of your heart. Because Jesus said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Right? So when you begin to break off the spirit of materialism by giving of your resources to God, when you begin to say, you know what, I want to keep this because I can see, like, this is how my wife calculates money. She calculates money in how many pairs of shoes it represents. We all have a way that we calculate money. Right? $100 or $500. For us, it represents something that we like. Right? And so we have to decide. When we give our resources, our money to God, it represents something. Gosh, I don't want to give. This represents something that I could buy for myself. This represents comfort. This represents maybe new flooring in my house. This represents a new car. This represents something that I want. And when we take that and we give that to God, that is a painful process. And we willingly engage in the pain because we want our heart changed. Because we recognize that if I hold on to this thing, it actually owns me. I don't want to be owned by this thing. I don't want to be owned by my money. I don't want to be owned by the things of the earth. The only way to break that is to say, you know what? I own you. Here you go, God. I'm going to put it in your hands. And suddenly you will find your heart begins to be changed. You find that materialism, the power that it has over you, begins to be broken. Now, it's not a one-for-all thing. It's a continual process of purification that we engage ourselves in. And we begin to say, God, what would you like me to do with my resources? And what you'll find is that he will keep growing you. He will keep giving you opportunities to purify your heart more and more and more. And the more you do it, the more free you become. The more full of joy you become. The more you realize, this stuff does not determine my happiness. Money will come and go. Security materially will come and go. Cars and houses will come and go. But if you understand this principle, you will never be shaken. You will never be without joy. You will never be without a foundation because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is always faithful. Number three, we can serve God with our resources to build his church. This is a principle of selflessness. When we give into the heart of God, into the house of God, what we're doing is we're actually investing in something that is not just an institution. And this is what we have to understand is the nature of the church. The nature of the church is not just we're trying to build a building and an institution so that we can say, man, look how beautiful that building is. We're talking about the people of God that we're investing in, the family of God. This is what it says in Acts chapter 4. Acts is the early church, right? It's the way that church is supposed to be because it's the first time we see it on the face of the earth. And this is what it says. All the believers were united in heart and mind. Now, it doesn't say, because we might make a mistake to think that means they were all aligned politically or they all agreed on everything in Scripture. But that's not what it's saying at all. It says they felt that what they owned was not their own. So they shared everything they had. There were no needy people among them because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. Wow. Now that's a community that's different than the world. If we actually lived in that way so that there were no needy among them, they cared for one another, right? Just as a family works together to make sure that all the needs are met, that's the way it's supposed to be with the church family. We're supposed to be the kind of people that have a mindset that the resources that I have, it's not just for me and my family. It's for the people of God. It's so that I can be of blessing to those that are around me. Man, if a church, if churches got a hold of that one, they would actually have impact in their community. But when the community oftentimes looks at us, we just look like everybody else. Same stingy, stinking people. Because we haven't actually been transformed. I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. Transformed by the goodness of God and actually beginning to put Him first. Number four, and I'll end with this. We can serve God with our resources to help others in need. That's that spirit of generosity. Question is this, which will you choose? How will you live your life? Where are you out of order? The moment we start talking about money, everybody starts to pucker up a little bit. Because immediately that spirit of mammon starts to come to the forefront. What are you doing, Pastor? You talk about money? You're trying to take my money? You're trying to guilt me into something? No, that's not what we're talking about. But I tell you, when you start feeling like that, usually it's an indication that there's a thing that spirit has over you. There's a power that it has in you. The moment we start speaking about living in an open-handed way, if you start getting nervous, you start getting a little sweaty under the collar, then it's probably an indication that you actually need to give, that you actually need to get set free from a mentality that is a closed-fisted, tight-fisted mentality that says, I got to hold on to this, because if I don't hold on to this, somebody's going to take it from me. If I don't hold on to this, I'm not going to have enough in the future. If I don't hold on to this, I'm not going to have a big enough house or big enough car. And I tell you what, God is looking for people who will finally begin to understand, this stuff has no power over me. That I belong to a kingdom that's unshakable. That I serve a God who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. That there's nothing that I can withhold from Him because He has everything already. And He never wants to withhold from His kids all that they need. Seek first the kingdom of God and all of these things will be added unto you. But do we believe it is the question. Who are you going to serve today? Would you just bow your head right where you're at right now? Lord, would you help us to be the kind of people who decide to put you first in every way, not just in our words, Lord, but in the way that we spend our time and the way that we use our gifts and our abilities and the way that we spend our money. God, would you do something in our hearts? Would you put, Lord, a desire to put you first there, to honor you, a desire to be generous, a desire to be selfless. Would you give us courage, Lord? Courage to take you at your word. Yes. Courage to give when it hurts. Courage to be generous, Lord, when it doesn't feel good to be generous. Would you make us a people, Lord, who are willing to be courageous? If you're just feeling, I'm just going to have you raise your hand just for a moment, but if you're just feeling like, you know, you're feeling the Lord speak to you in particular about an area of your heart, maybe it's a money area, it's something in relationships, but you know that there's something out of alignment, that you're not putting God first, and you're just kind of hearing Him say that to you, and you're saying, you know what, yes, I'm going to make some changes. If that's you, just raise your hand just as an indication of saying, Lord, I'm not only hearing you, but I'm going to respond. Lord, I want to walk out of here changed. Lord, for every hand that's raised, we want to walk out of here changed. We don't want to be the same people. We don't want to repeat the same mistakes over and over again. We find ourselves constantly repeating the same things. God, would you help us? Would you help us order our lives in a way that honors you? Would you help us get things straight? Lord, would you forgive us because we have said things and not done them? Because we have run in other directions. We've been pursuing material things and things of this world. But Lord, would you now just come with your grace? And would you give us courage and strength and power to be obedient to you in Jesus' name? Would you just put your hands down just for a moment? I just want to ask that question that I said I was going to ask at the beginning of my message, that if you're here this morning and you need to make a decision to cross over and to give Jesus basically everything, that you're saying, and you maybe you've never done this before, or maybe you've done it but you haven't really fully understood it, and you're just saying today, I need to give God everything. That I've tried to do it my own way. I've pursued things of this world. I've pursued things that were surrounded around my own comfort, my own pleasure, but they're not yielding anything. And I'm recognizing today that I'm going to give up the battle, and I'm finally going to give everything to Jesus. And it's an invitation for salvation for eternity, but it's also an invitation for salvation for your soul right now in this place. And if that's you, I just want to invite you to stand to your feet, because I want to pray for you, that you're just saying, yes, I'm crossing over the line today. I'm not going to ever go back. I'm saying, Jesus, you're the one. My life is yours. I'm going to honor you. I don't even know fully what that means, but God, I'm giving everything to you today. Let there be no doubt that today I'm standing on your word, on the cross, on the fact that your sacrifice made it possible. The good news, this is for anyone that desires it this morning. You don't have to earn it. It's not about deserving it. It's not about that you did something good enough to get here this morning to finally stand to your feet. This is for those who are down and out, who are broken, and who don't have it, and you're just saying, Jesus, would you please save me? Lord, for every person that's standing up right now in the name of Jesus, God, we pray that you would come and that you would covenant with them, that you would meet with them, that you would see them standing to their feet, and you would stand next to them, that you would cover them, God, with your blood and your goodness, that you, Lord Jesus, would stand for them, that you would open up the doors ahead of them, that you would close the doors behind them, those things that need to be broken off from their lives in the name of Jesus. Lord, we say, let those be done. Let them be in the past. Let the cross guide them. Let it be a new day that you're speaking over them. In the name of Jesus, I declare this is a new day for you guys. This is a new day. The Lord has his hand on you. He's got his purposes for you. He's going to begin to adjust things in your heart and in your life, and it's going to surprise you at the way he works. Thank you for that, Jesus. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, would everybody just stand to their feet? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Lord, I just pray a blessing on your people in the name of Jesus. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your forgiveness. I pray in the name of God, as they go out today to do their things, as they go to work and to school and all the activities that they have, Lord, would you go before them? Would you follow them? Would you chase after them with your goodness? Would they find, Lord, that their lips are full of praise, that the words that they have would give life to those that are around them? For every heavy heart, would you lift it up in the name of Jesus? Would you fill their mouths, Lord, with goodness? Would you make them smile with your greatness, we pray in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. 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 God bless you this morning.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed the message, and we hope to see you on a Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. Visit us online at kchamford.com, and if you want to support our ministry, click give. Koinonia Church, passion for God, compassion for people.